The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen.
Daf ayin he. Today's daf is being studied. Le'alu nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruh Hashem t'nihenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on ayin he amud rishon. And we are three lines down, starting with the words utlata. Gemara says utlata kera'e betruma. There are three pasukim that are written by teruma. One pasuk is the pasuk that we've been quoting, ish ish, meaning outside, mezera aharon, right? A descendant of Aharon who sarua or zav, either is a mitzora or he has zavut, but kodashim lo yochal. He should not eat kodashim, which is teruma, ad asher yitar, until he purifies himself. The second pasuk is Uva Hashemesh v'taher ve'achar yochal min hakodashim. The sun will set and then he's able to eat kodashim, which we explained is teruma. And the third pasuk, which was by a yoledet, that we learned ad melot yemei tahora, right? Until the days of tahara are finished, so then she's able to eat teruma. We learned on yesterday's daf that's talking about, let's say she gave birth to a male, a boy, so therefore she goes to the mikveh on the seventh night or seventh day, and then she's considered an extended tevul yom until the night of the 40th, and then on that night she's able to eat teruma. So the Gemara is going to question now, what do you need three different pesukim that are teaching me all this law of teruma? So the Gemara says, "Utlata kerebet teruma lamadi." Gemara says, "Sirich, you need them." The I me'ad asher yitav. What if the pasuk says, the first pasuk, "Ish ish mezera aharon," which is talking about teruma. It says he cannot eat teruma when he becomes tameh until he purifies himself. Lo aveyadana b'may, which means I don't know. What does it mean? Ad asher yitar. What's considered gemar taharato? What's considered the completion of his tahara? So ketiv rahamana uba shemesh v'taher. So I have the other pasuk says uba shemesh to teach me that the completion of his tahara is when the sun sets. That's already when he's able to eat teruma. He ketiv rahamana uba shemesh. If it's when it's uba shemesh, hani mili dilav bar kapara. I would say, when does he rely on Ha'erev Shemesh to eat teruma? That's only when there's no korban involved. Aval debar kapara, but in the case where there's kapara, where there's a korban, ema ademaiti kapara. I would say maybe you have to wait until he brings his kapara the following morning. Ketiv rahamana admelot. The third pasuk says admelot yeme tahara, that until the days of tahara are finished, which is even before kapara. That was a case where there was a korban. It's a case of a yoledet. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, V'i ketiv rahmana ad melot. If the pasuk would have said, or the Torah just would have said, the third pasuk, ad melot yeme tahara, hava amina afidu belot tevila. I would have said, even without tevila, because if you look in parashat Tazriya, it doesn't say anywhere in that parashah that the yoledet goes to the mikveh. It just says, v'tameha shiva'at shamim, kimin idad devotat titma. Gemara says, if the Torah says ad melot yeme tahara only, I wouldn't know that she has to go to the mikveh. Have I mean afilu melot tevila, because it doesn't say in that parasha mikveh. It just says she's tameh for 7 days, then she waits 33 more days, then she eats teruma. So that's why it says ketiv rahmana ad asher yitar. So the pasuk says ad asher yitar, which teaches me mikveh. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, let's start from Hecha Delav Bar Kapara. Well, I would have thought in the other previous derasha where she's not a Bar Kapara. Deha Kula Inyana Bebaal Bet Re'iyot Umesura Muskar Vetamesh Sheretz Umet Mishtai, which is from the pasuk of Ish Ish Mezela Aharon Ki Yezav Umetzora. We learned that that pasuk was talking about where there's no korban. It's talking about a zav that only saw twice, or mitzorah that say musgar, that does not bring a korban. So from that pasuk, I would say when there's no korban, that's when you have to wait till sunset. How do I know? Even in the case where there's a korban, so ketiv rahmana ad melot de'afilu yoledet de bar kaparahi, that she is a bar kapara teora be'erev shemesh. So comes the Gemara and says, Ulach tana de paligale de tana de bidibi Ishmael. According to the Tana that argues on tana de bidibi Ishmael, the Amar bezav ba'al shlosha re'iyot ubimisura muhlat a katuv medaber. We had a shita that we're learning till now, which is the Rabbi Ishmael shita. In the case of ish ish kiye zav mitzora, we learned that the Zav is talking about, he saw twice, and the Mitzorah is talking about a Muskar, which is an early stage of Mitzorah, which in both cases you do not have to bring a Korban. Good. But according to another Tana, they hold that what? That the Pasuk is talking about a Zav that saw three times, and a Mitzorah that's at the final stage. It's going to see the Mitzorah Mukhlat. So what is the Pasuk really telling us? That they cannot eat Korbanot until when? Until they bring the Qurban. Because you can't tell me it's Terumah, because Terumah you're allowed to eat already at Erev Shemesh. So therefore, according to this man, the Amad that's learning the Pasuk, it's talking about a Zav of three, and a Misurah of Mukhlad. So the Gemara says, I read again, ולהח תנא דפליג עליה דתנא דבני ישמעאל דאמר בזהב בעל גמל ראויות ובמסורה מוחלט כתוב מדבר דהי עד אשר יתהר. And this pasuk that said עד אשר יתהר means עד דמייתי כפרה, it means what? Until he brings כפרה, which is not going to be able to eat קודשים. What does קודשים mean? קודשים will mean קורבנות. He's not going to be able to eat it until yitar, until he brings his korban. Tere karae bekadashim lamali. We're running two pasukim by kadashim, which means we have two pasukim now because we have the yoledet pasuk. The yoledet pasuk also is talking about a case of korbanot as well, and it's telling us what in the pasuk of the yoledet it told us that v'chiper alea hakohen v'tahera, that once the kohen brings the kapara, meaning the korban, v'tahera, it's permissible to eat kadashim. So now we have two pasukim because he's learning the pasuk of ish ish mezera aharon ki zav u'mesorah, talking about a zav of three, where there is a Qurban and a Mitzorah Mukhlat. So basically, you have two Pesukim that are teaching us the same point. That what? That when there's Kapara involved, you have to wait until the Kapara, the Qurban, is brought in order to eat Kadashim. So what he needed to say it two times. So comes the Gemara and says, Kadashi, Tere Karae, Ad Asher Yitar, right? That's the first Pasuk. וחיפר עליה ותהרה. That's why the יולדת. בקדשים, למה לי לשמיעינן דעד דמייתי כפרה? What do I need to prescribe to teach me that you can't eat קדשים until you bring כפרה? So what I said, סליקה, you need them. דאי כתב רחמנה ביולדת. If it just would have said by יולדת, I would say משום דמרובה תומעתה. I would say because she has a long time that she cannot eat תרומן קדשים. She has 80 days. Which means she gave in the keva, so she's tameh for 14 days, and she cannot eat terumah for the next 66 days. So I might have thought, when are you mahmir that what you can't eat kodashim until you bring a korban? Maybe because of your leder, where there's a tumah for an extended period of time. Avad bezav emalo, but zav is only a 7-day situation, so I might have thought you don't have to wait until the korban. We go the other way. We can't even have a bezav. Torah just written by the zav. Telo hutar michlalo, a zav. Whatever comes out of his body during the time of Zavut is Tameh. However, Aval Yoledet Emalo. But a Yoledet, a lady gives birth during, let's say, the 33 days. After the 7 days, the blood that comes out of our body is considered Dam Tohar. And therefore, I might have thought we could be more lenient and you don't have to wait for Kadashim until the Korban. So therefore, Sirikha. That's what I have to say, both of them. So comes Gemara and says, Bemayim Yuva V'Tameh Ada Arev. Okay, what's the full pasuk over here? The pasuk says like this, and I quote it to you: "V'chol asher yipol alav mehem b'motam," which means if anything falls on a keli, we're talking about a keli. Now you have a vessel. Okay, let's say some tumah asher it falls on the vessel, so the vessel becomes tameh. The pasuk says, "Yitma mekol keli etz or beged or or osa kol keli asher yasem melachav b'hem." So what are you supposed to do? B'mayim yuva. Dip it in the mikveh, v'tameh ad arif, Right? And it's tamei until the evening. V'tayinal. How that's talking about terumah. So what do you need this pasuk for? We learned already the law of terumah that what of ha'erev shemesh. So here it's saying again, you want to use a candy for terumah. Okay? So the hadush of the Torah is that if it became tamei, you got to put it in the mikveh and mitzvah tamei ad ha'arev. So the Gemara says, what do you need that pasuk for? Lamadi. Isn't that included in the regular din of terumah that needs ha'erev shemesh? Gadashi. Be'mayim yuva v'tamei ad ha'arev. Al korhach l'terumah ha'aydi. For sure we're talking about terumah in this pasuk. How do you know? Mid'ba'eh ha'erev shemesh. Because it says Erev Shemesh, right? You need to wait till the night. Lama tipuk lemibah Shemesh v'tahir. We have the regular pasuk about Shemesh v'tahir. What do I need this pasuk of a keli that became tamed? If you want to use it for terumah, you got to wait till the evening. That's the regular din of a Shemesh v'tahir. The Gemara says, Amar bizera lingi'ah. This is a different din. This is talking about the law of touching terumah, not for achila. That's she, lingi'ah, dekrad le'el ba'achila mishtahir. Which means, that pasuk is talking about to eat teruma. We're talking about vessels. Just talking about where the teruma is going to come in contact with the keli. And the hadushes we're learning that a keli needs to have erev shemesh. And what we learn about Adam, that a man that's a tevul yom that did not wear the erev shemesh, he will not be able to touch terumah. So we learn an extra thing. So Gemara says, "Lingiyah detanya v'tameh." It says in the pasuk by this case of the keli, it says v'tameh. It's going to be tameh. Yachol lakol, which means, are you going to tell me it's going to be tameh lakol? What does this mean? Rashi, v'tameh b'mayim yuva. It says you have to put the keli in the waters. V'tameh. So it says, af le'achar bi'atamayim. Sounds like even after you put it in the water, it's tameh. Because it says you'll put it in the waters and it's tameh. So the Gemara says, yachod la'kol avi tameh. It's going to be tameh for everything even after the mikveh. Tamud lomar, reading Rashi, v'tahir. Bedelo ketiv v'yithar, mashma de'mi'ikara ka'eh, kodem v'ayrev shemesh. So you have a pasuk like this. V'tameh, it's magic. You put it in the waters, v'tameh. And it's still tameh if you put it in the waters. So wait a minute, it's tameh conclusively? Can't, because the pasuk says, v'tameh ad'ar v'tahir. V'tahir is mashma, that it was tahor originally. Because it didn't say v'yitahar and it will become tahor. It's mashma, it has a certain status of tahara and a certain status of tum'am. So the Gemara says, v'tahir. I v'tahir yachol lakol, tamudah v'tameh. Ha'ketzad, kan lema'aser, kan l'trumah. Which means, the pasuk is saying like this, lema'aser, which ma'aser sheni, it'll be permissible to use this candy even when it's tabul yom. So therefore, when it says v'taher, it means it was tahor already, which means once you dipped it in the mikveh, even before you waited till the night, v'taher, it was tahor at that point over there. L'gabe what? Put ma'aser sheni in it. Oh, when it says v'tameh ad ha'arev, that means what? L'gabe terumah, you need the erev shemesh, that you cannot even put the item in the candy. Okay, so there's a new law we're learning. It's a law of Nigi'ah. So it was V'ipuch Ana. Why don't you go the opposite way? Why don't you say that what? Maybe I'll tell you, Terumah, you could put it in the Keli. Mibi'ajom, when it's a Tibul Yom. And maybe Ma'asir Sheni, you have to wait until Erev Shemesh. Gemara says, no, Mistavra, Ki hechi de hamira achila de Terumah ma'achila de Ma'asir. Just like when it comes to eating terumah and ma'aser, the achilah is mohamur. Just like by achilah of terumah, you have to wait until the erev shemesh. As opposed to achilah of ma'aser, it could be a tevul yom. Hachename hamiran nigi'ad de terumah, nigi'ad de ma'aser. So when it comes to the law of nigi'ah, we're going to say that the laws of nigi'ah of terumah are going to be mohamur than the nigi'ah of ma'aser. That what? That to put in the keli, you have to wait until the keli had the erev shemesh. And now we're going to apply that to Adam as well. That a human being that became tameh, he won't be able to touch teruma until he has erev shemesh. So that's that pasuk. The Gemara gives another reason why I would say that dafka teruma, you have to wait by the keli till erev shemesh. Because nigi'ad teruma, the law of nigi'ad teruma mehacha nafka. We learn from the following pasuk: bechol kodesh lo tiga. This pasuk over here is talking about a yoledet. Yoledet gave birth, right? So it says during the 33 days, let's say for a boy that she gave birth to, it says, Bechol kodesh lo tiga. She cannot touch kodesh. Now what is this kodesh? What type of kodesh are you talking about? You know what else says? Azara le'ochel Is this an azara to eating, or eno ela linogeya? Or maybe it's just literally as it says, a halakha of nogeya, nigiyah, touching. Tamud omar bechol kodesh lo tiga ve'la migdash lo tavo. The next line in the pasuk says, and she cannot go into the Beit HaMikdash. Makish kodesh le migdash. The word kodesh is to be compared to the law of the migdash. Ma migdash davar shtiyesh bo nitilat neshama. In the law of the Mikdash, if she goes to the Beit HaMikdash where she's Tameh, that's already an item that's punishable by Karet. The Pasuk says, V'nechreta ki et Mikdash Hashem Timeh. So they were just like the case of that she cannot go into the Beit HaMikdash. It's an item that can take her life away, which means Netilat Neshama. Af Kodesh, Davash Yesh Bo Netilat Neshama. Which means eating the Kodesh Betum'ah. Eating. Because there's no punishment for mitah on touching. So therefore, once we're talking about eating, let's say, terumah betumah, which is, it says, there's mitah b'de shamayim, or let's say, eating kadashim betumah, which is already, there's a chayuv, karet. So comes the Gemara and says, af kodesh, tavash yesh bo netilat neshama. Ubin giyah netilat neshama leka. Good. And there's no karet by, or mitah by, nigiyah. So interesting. Even though the pasuk says, bechol kodesh lo tiga, it really means to eat. Because we're catching it to the end of the pasuk that's talking about a davar sheyesh bo netilat neshama. Oh, v'hai dafkei b'lashon nigi'ah. So then why did the pasuk write nigi'ah? Write achila. Hachi kamar nigi'ah ka'achila. So the pasuk is coming to tell me, you should know, whatever the laws of achila, not like a punishment, whatever the laws of terumah are by achila, meaning you need he'erev shemesh, so too nigi'ah is the same law as achila, meaning you need he'erev shemesh before you're allowed to even touch the terumah. So that's that source of how do you know terumah needs erev shemesh? Because the deen is nigi'ah is like achila. Look at Rashi, nigi'ah ke achila asul echol asul nigal. If you asul to eat it, you asul to touch it as well, just like the deen of terumah. Comes the Gemara and continues. Pesua daka. We learned in our Mishnah. We had a case of a psua daka. Psua daka is somebody that we said that the betzim, the testicles, were either crushed or damaged in a way where he becomes pasu lavo bakahal. It's called a psua daka. Now, we had a case of here, let's say the fellow married a, he's a kohen, let's say this psua daka. He eats terumah. Doesn't render him pasu from terumah. Let's say he marries a bat Yisrael. So we learned in the Mishnah that she cannot eat terumah if they had relations. Because once they have relations, she becomes a halala. And therefore, she loses her rights of the terumah. That being said, we learned if it was before relations, so that it'll be okay. Which means if they didn't have relations from the time he became a psua daka, so she never became a halala, so she still has a dina, she's able to eat terumah. Now, we remember we had a mahloke, an earlier dapim, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. What was the mahloket over here? The mahloket was that somebody that's omed libi'a pesula, a lady that's destined for a bi'a pesula, she didn't make the bi'a yet, but she's destined to a bi'a pesula, does she become pesula to eat terumah at that point? Rabbi El-Azab and Rabbi Shimon were mekel. They said, even though a person's omed, the lady's omed, the bi'ah surah, until she makes the bi'ah, she's muteret. Rabbi Meir was mahmir. He said, no, omed at the bi'ah, she pesula, already at that point, is pesula. So now the Gemara is going to try to understand our Mishnah in lieu of that mahlok between Rabbi El-Azab and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says the following. Now says, Man tana mishtamir libi'a pesula deoraita akhla. Who's the opinion that says that a lady that's mishtamirit, that she's destined, she's waiting for a bi'a pesula deoraita that she can eat? Because seemingly that's the case of Amishnah. They were learning Amishnah, seemingly, this lady over here, the pesula de kazasu deoraita. And she's a mishtamirit libi'a pesula. What is the deen of Amishnah saying? She can eat. So who's that opinion? So Amar bil Azar bin Mahloket Shinuya. Well, the subject is a Mahloket. V'Rabil Azar v'Rabi Shimoni. But you see, Amishnah must be called Rabbi Azar v'Rabi Shimon. That a lady that's mishtameret lebi'a pesula, even if it's a bi'a deoraita, as long as she doesn't have a bi'a, she's permissible to eat the terumah. So they're the author of Amishnah. That's what Rabbi Azar said. So Gemara says, Hanan Amar afilu tema Rabbi Meir. Even Rabbi Meir will be lenient in Amishnah. Why? Shaniacha shekevar achla. Because our case is talking about she ate already, which means the guy wasn't a psua daka when they got married. The guy was a regular kohen. So therefore, he fed her. Because he's a kohen, and she's about to say she eats. Oh, then he became a psua daka. So as long as they didn't have, she didn't have a bi'ah after he became a psua daka, but she was eating already from before beheted, even if bimeir will be maskim. So therefore, we have a big machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yohanan, who the author of our Mishnah is. Rabbi Elazar said the author of our Mishnah is who? Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Because this is a regular case of Mishtamer Lebi'ah Pesula, which is Mutar. Which means he doesn't make this Chiluk in Rabbi Meir like Rabbi Yohanan does. Rabbi Yohanan says, don't leave me Rabbi Meir. And I will say Rabbi Meir holds that the only time Mishtamer Lebi'ah Pesula is if she never ate before. Right? But if she ate, it's okay. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Elazar Shekevar Akhla Lo Amrina. He doesn't go with this Sevara Rabbi Elazar Shekevar Akhla. Because otherwise he couldn't make the Mishnah Rabbi Meir. The fact that he didn't make the Mishnah Rabbi Meir, he doesn't care, even though Shekevar Akhla doesn't matter. Mimi is going to say she now omitted the bi'ah pesula. She loses her rights for teruma. Why didn't he say that? Dilo tema'achi bat yisrael shenisit the kohen. So then you go, how far are you going to take the sevara? A bat yisrael is married to a kohen. She eats, right? Umet ba'ala. And then let's say her husband died. Tochal shekevar akhla. Why don't you say she should continue eating because she ate already? Which means if you're going to go with the sevara that you're proposing to be Hanan, take it even further. Which means take it because a bat yisrael that married to a kohen. She ate. So I don't care if the guy does, she still continue to eat. I mean, the law is not like that. So Rabbi Yohanan answers back. You're not comparing a good comparison. Rabbi Yohanan, hatam paka kinyana. Over there, when the Kohen died, there's no more kinyan. The bat yisrael is alone. So I don't say since she ate, continue eating. Here, even though there's bi'af pesula, but the suadaka is still married to. So therefore the kinyan is still a kinyan. So there's an inherent difference between the two cases. So therefore, just for the record, comes out that we have a machloket, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yohanan, who the author of our Mishnah is. Rabbi Elazar says, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. That says, what Mishtamer, Rabbi Apesula, Muteret. And the case is talking about, even if she ate already, it's still Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Comes Rabbi Yohanan says, no. The case is talking about where she ate already, and therefore can even be Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, no, I don't agree with that sevara. Because if you can agree with that sevara of Rabbi Meir, that once already she ate already, she's okay. So give a case of Mitzvah that married a Kohen. She ate already, once the guy dies, she continue eating. Rabbi Elazar comes back and says, no comparison. There's no more kinyan. Paka kinyane. But shaken over here, the Pesuah of the Kaz is still around. Kaz Gemara continues. Ezehu Pesuah Daka. Okay, now the Mishnah. Our Mishnah brought what is considered a psua daka that's not allowed to come into the kahal. Right? Okay, we have two people. You have a psua daka and a krut shafcha. Psua daka, as we learned, is the betzim, the testicle is psua, literally crushed, and then you have krut shafcha where the member is actually severed. So comes the Gemara and says, Taru Rabbanan. Ezu psua daka. What is considered a pesua daka that's forbidden to come into the kahal? Kol shenifse'u besim shelo. If the besim were nifsa like a petza, they were blemished. What's the word? The right word? Where's that?
Wounded.
Okay. Vafilu achat mehen. Even one of them. Vafilu nikbu. Even if they were punctured. Vafilu nimoku. Nimoku was like they were, dissolved. She says, Mahmat Makkah, it was a certain, let's say, blemish on them, or Makkah, injury on them. Nimoku, Vuktenu, they became small by themselves. Vafilu Hasru, that she says, even if they just, let's say, got smaller, Kotsu, already that's considered a Besuadaka. I heard from the Hachemim beKerem beYavne. That was the yeshiva they called the Kerem beYavne because they used to sit in the formation like a Kerem, like a vineyard. Kol she'en lo ela betza ahat. If a guy, let's say, was born with one betza, eno ela sris hama. He is considered a sris hama. What is a sris hama? Sris hama is considered somebody that was born or somebody that got sick. Hama is like fever. Minas shamayim, he got sick, and therefore he became a psua daka. That does not make a person a psua daka mina Torah, which means only when it happened by something he did. But if it's natural causes, means he got sick or something like that, that's considered minas shamayim, it happened. So the Gemara is saying like this: a guy that was born with one betzah, so he has a deen of a slish hama. Look at that, she's slish hama. We'll go one more step. The Gemara says, "Elu ela sris hamar de kasher," and therefore it's kasher. He's not considered asur. So the Gemara says, "Sris hamas al kadatach." What's your analogy to a guy that was born with one betzah to a guy that got sick? Why? What's the question? The Gemara says, "Sris hamas al kadatach." Has sris hamar bides shamayim mahmat choli? Right, sris hamar comes because of a sickness. Ve'ah lav choliu. This guy didn't get sick, he was just born that way. So what's your comparison when you tell me the guy was born with one betzah, he's a shlish hama? That's not called a shlish hama. So the Gemara says, okay, El harehu kisris hama. He has a deen like a shlish hama that is going to be kasher. Rashi, telo asra tura el psua vedach v'charut. The Torah is only osir when the guy did something to it, where there was an action he did. But if it just happened by itself, for example, a Shabbat because of sickness or something like that, it's okay. So similarly, if a guy was born with one betzah, so that's not considered a psua daka as well. Kavz Gemaran says, v'nikav lo molid. Now the assumption of the Gemara is over here that the reason why psua daka is asur to come into the kahal, because he's not able to have children. And one of the cases we said over here is if one of the betzim was nikav, it was punctured. So the Gemara asks, "Nikav lo molid? Are you telling me that if a guy has one of the betzim is punctured, he cannot have children?" There was a certain guy climbed up a palm tree. Salik ledekla. And what happened? Veharze silva bebetzim. One of his betzim got punctured by a thorn that was on the tree. Okay, so it causes betzim, one of the betzim, to get punctured. So what happened? Venafat mine kichut de mugla. Like a pus of zera came out of it. Ve'olid. But he still had children. So you see what? A punctured betzah. We have a story. Guy had a punctured betzah, even though it oozed out mugla, this zera. But at the end of the day, he still had children. So Gemara says, Ha shalach Shmuel lekameh de Rav. The end of that story is that Shmuel sent in front of Rav and said, Va'amar le, se v'hazor al banav me'ayin him. Go check where his children are. Which means he was chashed that the children are mamzerim. Which means these are not his children. Impossible. If he had such a damage, you have to question his children. So therefore, it stands true. If a person has a punctured betzah, he cannot have children. I, that guy, there was a story. Shmuel questioned the if the children were kosher beklal. Because she says, second line, me'ayin him. Third line, zanta ishto. Maybe his wife has znut. How do you know? Maybe that's where the children came from. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Pesua daka bide shamayim kasher. Which means, if he was born that way, or let's say that she says a case where he became a pesua daka through natural causes, for example, through thunder, ra'amim ubarad. Not exactly sure how a person, the Ayin Hara, can become a Pesua Daka with thunder. Maybe he got scared and that caused something to happen over there. In any event, it says Kashir. Because what? So long as it did not happen by Adam, it just happened naturally. So he's Muta Lavo Bakahal. Okay? And the same thing would be by a Krut Shafcha. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, Bide shamayim ayeder re'amim ubarad, but as like hailstorm. Or let's say it was natural. Okay, that's interesting. From Rashi over here, the midrash is medayek that in these cases it's considered bide shamayim and he can come into the kahal. But if he became a psua daka al yede adam, so then already he's considered asur. So he writes, "Ubetama davar." He says, "Yesh shekatav sherov machalot baot laadam mahmat etrashlut upeshi'a beshmirah begufo," which means we have a from Rashi. It's mashma only these cases, but not sickness, because he didn't say sickness. Rashi said, "Bidesh shamayim." He gave a case of thunder. He gave a case of barad. But what about a person gets sick? So the Rosh says, "No, Rashi didn't write sickness because if a person gets sick, he did it to himself." He's a poshaya. A Muslim, he brought the sickness upon himself because he wasn't watching his health. So that's not considered already bidei shamayim. He says, שכתב שרוב המחלות באות לאדם מחמת התרשלות ופשיעה בשמירת גופו, והרי זה בידי אדם. Only problem with the Rosh is, all the Ahurim ask, Rashi on the Amud Rishon said clearly, Chaltzato Hamah, that if he had a fever, that's considered Bidei Shamayim. So therefore, what's the Rosh being Midayek from Rashi? That he didn't say fever, because fever is considered Bidei Adam. Right? That's the question that they all ask on the Rosh. So you have to say that which Rashi said over here, Kegon Re'amim Ubarad, he just gave examples. You have to say, V'hu Adin, Holy also is going to be considered. Right? That you have to say that, because otherwise Rashi soter himself from the Amud Rishon to the Amud Bet. Okay, so Chazal says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Pesuah Dekav Deshamayim Kasher. Amar Rava, Hainu Dekarinan Pesuah Daka. That's why we read the Pasuk, Pesuah, Velo Karinan HaPasuah. Which means, HaPasuah means that he is Pesuah. Meaning he was born that way. Pesuah Mashma is something happened to him, that he did something. So therefore, from the word pesua, it's mashma, something was done to him, be the Adam, as opposed to ha-pesua, the pesua that was born that way. The matnita tana, the brayta, we have a different proof for this. Ne'emar lo yavo pesua, ne'emar lo yavo mamzer. Right, we have two pesukim that are next to each other. A pesua that cannot come into the kala, and a mamzer cannot come into the kala. So Gemara's doresh, ma'al alam bide Adam, afkan bide Adam. Just like a mamzer doesn't just happen, a mamzer happens through the actions of men. So to a psuah daka is talking about where it happened through the actions of men. Okay, comes again what it says. It says in the pasuk, pesuah daka and krut shafcha. Now, the Gemara is going to say that there's really three different type of blemishes that we're talking about over here. You have a pitzuah. Pitzuah, like I said, it was injured or it was bruised or something. You have daka. Daka means dicha. Dicha means crushed. And then you have krut. Krut means it was cut. So you have three words over here. You have pitzuah, daka, krut. So the Gemara now doresh on these words. Amarava pasua bekulan. If any of the organs of reproduction become patsua, he's out. Dach bekulan, or crushed in all the organs, or karut bekulan. So each one of these three applies to any of the organs of reproduction. The Gemara explains pasua bekulan, which means if it's like bruised or injured, benchin if sagid. Whether it's the actual member itself, benchin if siru betzim, or it's the betzim, benchin if siru chute betzim. Whether the chute betzim would be like the cord, the strings that bring the zera from the betzim into the eved, have chutim, the veins we'll call them. So even those, if they became pesua, right, damaged, so also is considered pesua daka. Now we get to the next case. Dach bechulan, crushed. Ben chini dach agid, ben chini dchu betzim, ben chini dchu chote betzim. Karut bechulan, ben chini chrat agid, ben chini chretu betzim, ben chini chretu chote betzim. Amar le'ahu merabbanan le'rava. Okay, so there's certain hacham said to Rava, mimai dai psua daka be'oto makom. It says psua daka. How do you know that's in the organs of reproduction? It's pesuah daka. It's crushed. It's cut. What's cut? Emam mirosho. Maybe it means his head. Which is, how do you know from the pasuk that it's talking about the evan? Maybe it's his head. Mm-hmm. How do you know it's talking about that part of the body? So Gemara says, Amar le midelo mana bedorot. From the fact that the Torah did not list generations, shma'mina b'otum makom, meaning by all the Isurim in the Torah that you're not allowed to marry, for example, in Egyptian it says, Dor Shilishi Yavo'u, third generation. That implies what? Because they can reproduce. Mm-hmm. By a Mamzer it says, even Dor Asiri cannot come into the Kahal. Or because, but there can be generations. Here it doesn't say anything about generations, it just says, Lo Yavo. Mashma, it's a blemish that cannot cause generations. That's why I didn't mention the generations. Unless we're talking about the organs of reproduction. That Gemara says, "V'dilma hay de'lo mana bo dorot di'ihu de'asur bere ubar bere kasher." I'll tell you, maybe it's talking about that he has a blemish in his head, And the reason why it didn't list generations is because his generations are permissible. Maybe his family, the guy's a crunch of God, his head, he's asut to come into the Kaal, but his children are permissible. That's why it didn't list generations. Yabra says, Dumya de Khrut Shafcha. Ma Khrut Shafcha be otomakom, af ayname be otomakom. Which means the Gid, the member is called Shafcha, because it spills out Meraglaim, or it spills out Zera. So therefore, just like the pasuk krut shafcha is talking about the member of the reproduction, so too when it says pesua daka is also talking about the organ of reproduction. So we're learning pesua daka from krut shafcha. The evidence is called shafcha because it spills out. So therefore, just like we know that's talking about the evidence of reproduction, so what it says, psuat dakar also means the reproduction. So Gemara says, uchrut shafcha gufe mimay de beokom makomu. Now we challenge that. Who told you krut shafcha is even in that place? Where is it going to be? Ema misifte. Maybe it means in his lips. Which means krut shafcha, his lips got cut or broken, and therefore what's coming out? Shafcha. What's coming out? Saliva. Krut shafcha. He became cut and the saliva is coming out. So comes the Gemara and says, shofcha ketiv, bimkom sheshofech. Which means the word shofech is only mat'im by the Ever, by the Gid. Why? Because even if he has a cut in his mouth, so the saliva he spits out. Which means he's zorek from his mouth, even if there's a cut in his lips. Masha'enke, when it comes to the Eved, the Zera just comes out. Right? It comes out by itself. It's shofech out, or the meraglaim. So the word shofcha is more appropriate by the Eved than it is by the mouth. Rashi says, upiv eno shofech ela zorek lemarhok. Which means even if he has a cut in his lip, he starts to spit out the saliva, right? But when it comes to the Eved, it just spills out. Oh, so the Gemara says, just spills out. What about his nose? His nose doesn't do anything. It just comes out by itself. Not even without that, it can still come out by itself. So it comes to the Gemara and says, Miketiv bishfoch kerut shofcha ketiv. Mishal yede krita shofech. Shelo al yede krita eno shofech ela mekaleach laapuke hai di idi vi idi shofechu. Which means the Gemara is saying like this. It's saying krut shafcha. From the fact that this is krut shafcha means it's only shafcha as a result of the krut because it was cut. The eved before it's cut doesn't spill out. It goes out. Let's say regularly. It spouts. Mashenkin, when it's cut, it spills.
Right.
The nose, however, even without being cut, spills out. So therefore, for the fact that this is krut shafcha, that it's only shafcha mahmat krut, it cannot be talking about the nose, that's shafcha even without krut. That's the way it said it. Miketiv bishfoch kerut. Does it say shfoch first? No, it says kerut shafcha. It says kerut first. So it's got to be cut. Manita ta'ana, matita. But right, this is a different source. Ne'emal lo yavo psua daka, ne'emal lo yavo mamzer. Ma le'alam be'oto makom, afkan be'oto makom. Just the mamzer. Where does the mamzer come from? From the oto makom. That's how you make mamzerim. And the connection psua daka also is talking about the same place. That's how you know it's talking about the area of reproduction. So we have two sources to teach us the psua daka and kerut shafcha is actually talking about the ever. Okay, now the Gemara is going to discuss different dinim regarding psua daka v'kerut shafcha. We learned in our Mishnah that if let's say nishtayer begid mina atara. Hareu kasher, which means on the Eved itself, there's what's called the atara. Atara in English, they call it the corona. That's the starting the fleshy part of the Eved that's above the Gid. Okay? So we said in the Mishnah that so long as even there's a sliver of that basar intact, that would mean the whole Gid is intact. You just have a sliver of the atara and downwards, I mean towards the ground, it's already permissible. It's not considered a krut shafcha or a psua daka. That was the deen of our Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to analyze. Nikav lemata me'atara shekenegdo lemala me'atara. Which is, let's say there was a puncture
that she learns the case is punctured on a slant. What's the case? Let's say it started this hole lemata min atara, right? Again, the atara going down means towards the ground. So the hole went into the atara, to the fleshy part, but on a diagonal, and it came out in the evid itself. It came out in the gid. So now the question is, there's only one hole in the gid. It's not a hole on both sides. The hole starts on the front, where the basar is, and it goes from the basar into the evid, this hole. So the question is, does that make him a basulurat? So it says, nikav lemata me'atara. Lemata me'atara is towards the ground, meaning the fleshy part. Shekenigdo, and it came out, lema'la me'atara. Above the atara is where the gid is, right? What type of hole is that? Like I said, on a diagonal. Savar bichaya bar abba le'akshure. So he wanted to say it's kasher, because since it's not a full hole in the gid, it's only a hole coming out of the bottom. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rabbi Ase, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi, Atara Kolshi Me'akevet. Which means, Kolshi, which means from the Atara and above, which means by the Ever, even a Kolshi that's missing, already that's considered already Psua Daka, or a Kruch Afcha, that's a Kruch Afcha, I should say, and that would be Asur. To come into the kahal, even a drop, a kolshi, which means even though it's not a full hole, the hole starting really in the front. We said the front is not a problem. The problem is the gid itself. So even though it's coming out of the bottom, the hole, the top is not punctured. Doesn't matter. It's kolshi already. It's already going to be asur. Now the Gemara continues. Yativ Ravina v'kame bayale. Ravina was sitting in the shiur and he had a question. Melo hachut. We said in the Mishnah that so long as you have, let's say, even a string of from the atara and down, right towards the ground, even if you have a little piece left over there, kasher. So it says melo hachut she'amru al pene kula or al pene ruba, which means that which you said that you have a chut that's a string's worth, let's say a keut asara, a hair's breadth. Al pene kula, which means, is it according to the whole circumference of the area, or al pene ruba, or even a minority? Now, how does he say that in the English? I want to hear Ari explain that question. Is it in the majority, or is it kula?
Did they mean that a hair's breadth must remain along the face of the entire corona, or along the face of a majority of the corona?
Okay, so what does that mean?
Even if it's not majority, there's a minority missing of it, whether it's still considered okay or not.
Well, look at the answer. Amar le rabat tosfa le ravina melo achut al pene ruba. It's the majority uchlape resha. Which means, so long as the majority is missing, which means they're learning like this. Let's get the mitziut over here. You have the gid, then you have the atara, then you have a fleshy part that goes down towards the ground. But the Gemara is saying, what the Mishnah is saying is okay, I don't care about the fleshy part in the front. That already, even if it's totally cut, so long as by the atara, it's intact, it's okay, that's the main thing. By the atara, which is close to the gid, that's the main area that we're concerned about. Which means, let's say the front part is totally intact, but let's say by the gid itself is cut, is severed over there, so it's no good. So therefore, the ikar is saying, the way Lashon HaGemara is, milo achut al pener ruba, it's the majority uchlaper resha. Kaperisha is by the atara. That's the resha, which means by the resha, which is close to the gid itself. That's the area that we're talking about. Cannot get severed totally. Mashiach in the front is not a problem. The way it says v'davka k'sheshiul shemelachu to kaper resha shel atara nu betzad alyon shela. That's the top part. Aval im nechrat tagid beofen shebetzad alyon en shiul min atara melo achut. Let's say by the atara, you don't even have a hair's breadth. Even though on the bottom of the gid you have a lot, hareu pasul. So again, the main point of this Gemara is saying the ikar pasul is by the atara that's close to the gid. And now the Gemara says, Amar Avuna,
Now we'll discuss how is it cut. There's different cuts. Kekulmus keshera. If the ever was cut like a kulmus. Kulmus is a quill. Now if you ever saw how they make a quill, what they do is they make like a diagonal cut down, or really they shave it. Okay? So now let's discuss, if you had the Eved, and the Eved, the front of the Eved, let's say, right, in the fleshy part over there, let's say it was cut on a diagonal, which means they shaved it down, let's say. They didn't pierce a hole through it, it was just cut down like that, that's like a kulmus. Right, shafing it, okay, so it says, kulmus keshera. It's considered keshera. Why is it considered keshera? We'll see why. Kimmerzev pisula. Merzev is like a gutter or pipe. Which means, let's say there was a, they bored a hole, then they hollowed out an area like a merzev. So that's already pisula. So the Gemara says, what's the reason? Why is merzev pisula? Hai shalit ba'avira, hai lo shalit ba'avira. It seems for the zera to be functional or to work, it's got to be hot. If it's not going to be hot, it's not going to be zera. When there's a hole, like a pipe, the air goes in, because it's air pocket. So the air cools it off. Mashiach, when it was just shaved on the top, so the air goes on top of it, but it doesn't go in, it doesn't rest in the cavity. So that's the shita that wants to say, kulmus is better than merzev. Was that amar? The opposite. Ke merzev keshera. Merzev is better. Ke kulmus pesula. Hai garid v'hai lo garid, which means for the zera to come out, it has to rub against the inside of the rehem of the lady. So therefore, if it's hollowed out, but it still has the same width, and therefore when it goes into the lady, it will rub against the lady's rehem in order to bring zera. Mashaken, if it's shaved like a kulmus, so part of it's not going to touch. Because it's not the same width all around. So therefore it's not garid, it's not going to rub, and therefore it's not going to make zera. So he learns a sivara, hafucham. Amar Rava kevated Rav Huna mistabra. It makes sense like Rav Huna to say, kulmos is okay. Why? Hai lo shalit ba'avira, vai shalit ba'avira. Because again, the air is the main factor. Right. Because bottom line, when it's a cavity like a marzev, like a pipe, there's air in. The air gets in there, it cools everything off. Mashiach, when it just shaved down like a kulmus, there's no air. Ah, you told me, v'imishum gididuta. You told me it's not going to rub? Midi davi abarzad habita. It's no different than a spigot that plugs up the barrel, which means not all of the spigot touches. Only the end of it tightens and touches the air, rubs against the walls of the barrel where it forms the tightness. So therefore the same thing over here. You're right, the whole ever is not going to touch the walls of the rehim, but which the end of it will, which is the thick part will touch it. So even though, let's say, the part that was shaved down is not going to touch because it's narrow there, so what? Which means it's able to produce zera from the thick part by becoming in contact with the rehim. It's just like the spigot. Not the whole spigot is touching the walls of the barrel, only the end of it. Say it to it, so no problem. Amar le Ravina le Moremor. Amar mor zutra mishemed rapapa hilcheta. What's the halakha? Ben ke kulmos, ben ke marzev ke shera. Whether it's like a kulmos, whether it's like a marzev, it's kesha, meaning mutala bo bekahal. So it says, miu mevaya le Ravina, ask the question to Moremor. Lemata me'atara o lema'ala? He says, when we're talking about this case over here, is it lema'ala me'atara, meaning towards the gid? Or we talking about that this is happening by lemata, towards the ground. So he says, Peshita de lemala ma'atara. Which for sure the discussion over here is lemala ma'atara, which means by the atara close to the gi. That's the whole shayla over here. The isra kadak lemala ma'atara, lemata ma'atara, afilu nikrata gi nameh. Which means we learned by the fleshy part, that's not the air we consume. The front of the evid, that's towards the ground, that part, even if it's totally cut off, we said it's nothing. The whole concern is by the atara, it's close to the gi. So that'd be nice to the question. Well, when we're discussing it's hollowed out, or it's shaved out, like a kulmus, which area are we talking about? By the evid? By the atara that's close to the gi, that part? Or are we talking about the front? So he says the front, which means lemata, let the whole thing be cut off. What do we care about that? That's not the issue. The issue is by the atara that's close to the geet. So the Gemara says, "V'rabina leshabushel lemore mor hu ba'ed hu de'ba'ed." Rabina knew the answer. He was just trying to trick him to see if he knows what he's saying. So he asked him, "What are you talking about? Lemata or lemahal? What do you mean lemata or lemahal? We're only talking about the area that's next to the geet. We're not talking about the front part. Nothing. Okay, you're right. They just wanted to trip him up, to sharpen him up. Okay, comes the Gemara and concludes and says, "Oh, avda David b'matam machsaya." There was a certain case where a guy had a eved, and the eved was cut like a marziv. It was hollowed out. Okay, so I came in front of the rabbi. I want to know now, is it mutar lavo b'kahal? Shafye mor bar Rav Asher kolmos v'achshere. So mor Rav Asher, he shaved off the top to turn him into a marziv. I'm sorry, to turn him into a kolmos to make him kasher. Which according to this rabbi, he said only kolmos is kasher. This guy came in, he has an eved with a hole in it, right? It's hollowed out. Hollowed out, the air goes in. Air pocket, no good for the zera. So what did he do? He turned him from a marzev into a kulmos. How? He shaved it down. Now it's not a cavity anymore. Which is now the air cannot collect inside, it just goes above it. And now, you're right, what about the garib? So the top of it will be rubbing against the thing, and therefore it's okay. So whatever you see that he holds, not like the first shita. The first shita says, Rabina, halakha, ben ke marzev, ben ke kulmus, kasher. He holds, no, only marzev is kasher. So when the guy came to him like a, only kulmus is kasher. So when the guy came to him like a marzev, he turned him into a kulmus. Amen, amen.